Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastors Becca Bruner and Jonathan Meixel.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Meixel, one of the co-pastors here at Paley Presbyterian Church.
And hey again, Becca Bruner, so glad you've joined us today. It has been 12 weeks, officially, 12 weeks since, if you remember, we kind of just barely began to realize the impact of COVID-19, and 12 weeks ago, Chester County shut down. So it's been 12 weeks of working from home, 12 weeks of worshiping from home, 12 weeks of school from home, 12 weeks, if you can remember, since Zoom. At first, it became like our best friend and our connection to the outside world, but very quickly then became kind of our worst enemy. And we can't wait for the day when we no longer have to tell somebody, hey, you're on mute. 12 weeks of lines at the grocery store, 12 weeks of no haircuts, bad haircuts, no hair color, closed playgrounds, lost income, and so much more. After 12 weeks, we're all starting to go a little batty, aren't we? We're having a hard time coping with this new normal, whatever that means. But thanks to the internet, we have some encouragement today. I don't know if you saw this, but there's this video that was going around, and it's just so uplifting. It's just really helpful in giving us just the boost we need. So we thought we'd share that with you for a second.
All right, as much of the world continues on in isolation, people working from home, they're trying to figure out things to do with their family, things to figure out how to pass the time.
Yeah.
Lindsay and Kels, a lot of teachers have been going online and coaches trying to help out their students and their athletes. This one teacher in particular, music teacher, I thought was phenomenal. Not only did she pick up an instrument and decide to help out her student and spread some joy, but she wrote a song, and as inspiration, she was going to share what she's been going through and how it makes her feel while she is in isolation. Have a look.
So as some of you guys might know, I'm a music teacher, and I found that one of the best ways that I can process the whole transition to online learning and teaching is to write a song. So I wrote a song. I'd like to share that with you guys now. Here we go.
So, if you're at that place today, 12 weeks in, that you just need to scream a little bit, go ahead. No time like the present. We'll wait. Does that feel better? All right, let's move on. So we've been stuck at home for 12 weeks, and that has had some people wondering, what does that mean about the church? Like, has the church been closed for these 12 weeks? Isn't the church an essential business? Doesn't the church provide an essential service to the world? Well, our answer to those questions is no, yes, and absolutely yes. No, the church has not been, will never be, could never be closed. Yes, the church is an essential business. And yes, the church provides an essential, unparalleled, immeasurable service to the world. And nothing can ever stop us. The church is essential, and the church, it's amazing. Do you ever wonder, where did this idea come from? The whole idea that the world could be gathered together, people of every gender, every nationality, every status, like family. Where, before Jesus, Where did people actually try to include every single human being, regardless of nationality or ethnicity, status, income, gender, moral background, or education, all brought in to be loved and to be transformed? Well, the answer is nowhere. Before Jesus, it didn't exist. Community like this, it was Jesus' idea. Jesus came up with this idea and he charged his followers to go and make it happen. And make it happen, they did. You know, if you've hung around the church long enough, you've heard the stories. You've heard how Jesus lived, how Jesus died, and how after 3 days he rose again. You've heard how he was seen alive and well by first those 12 disciples and then 500 people after that. Well, those disciples and those 500 odd people who'd seen Jesus alive, they got together and they formed a community. Because they realized that if Jesus was alive, if Jesus had risen from the dead, well, that meant he was who he said he was. That he really was the Son of God. And well, if Jesus was who he said he was, well, then that meant they were who he said they were. So they started acting like it. They started living like Jesus said they were. And they formed this kind of alternative community. They rearranged their way of life. They met together daily. They learned from the teachings of Jesus passed down through the disciples. They prayed. They served. As the book of Acts put it, they were together. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Whatever possessions each one had, they used them to help each other. And there were these outsiders, people who hadn't seen the risen Christ themselves, and they weren't sure what they believed about Jesus. But when they looked in on this community, they liked what they saw, and they wanted in. It started 2,000 years ago in this tiny village outside of Palestine. A small group of people believed who Jesus said he was, and they started living like who Jesus said they were. And it changed the world. Changed the world then, and it changed the world now. Because if Jesus is who he says he is, well, that means that we are who he says we are. And if we are who Jesus says we are, well, that means we might very well change the world too. Because here's what Jesus says we are.
In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we read these words from Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. We are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Well, in Jesus' day, salt was primarily used to not season food as it is today. It was primarily used as a preservative, as something that kept food from decaying. In that culture, with the warm climate and no refrigeration, it was very short amount of time before meat would rot. But it was rubbed with salt. The life of that meat could be extended for a long period of time. And similarly, as the salt of our world, we are present today to prevent decay in our culture, to be a positive influence, keeping the evil around us at bay. And that viewpoint is important as we seek to balance the reality of sin and depravity in our world, but also the opportunity that is ours to have a significant impact on the world in which we live. When we take a look back into history, we see that this view is important because it hasn't always been the same. You see, at the beginning of the 20th century, there was a common idea that humankind was well on its way to ultimate goodness and ultimate perfection. People truly believed that the human race had learned enough, had grown enough, had made enough scientific advances that they could solve all of the world's problems. Just a little bit more time. It was only a matter of time before all the wars would cease, all diseases would be cured, every human vice would be overcome, and every human problem would be solved. While this world had been rotten at once, it was very soon to be fixed by the ability of human beings. That was the belief. But then some significant things broke into that world. Things like World War I, the Holocaust, World War II, wars in Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq, race riots, AIDS, September 11th, recently COVID-19. When reality hit and when reality hits, it became all too obvious that human ingenuity wasn't enough. It couldn't get us out of this mess. And that has pushed many people to the exact opposite extreme, which is that there's no hope. That if we can't figure it out on our own as human beings, then there's really no hope for this world at all. Nothing can be done, and the only response is despair and giving up. And it's into those two extreme positions, either we humans can figure it out and get ourselves out of this mess, or there's absolutely no hope, that Jesus stepped into this world. And he said to us today and nearly 2,000 years ago, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus affirms humans can't fix the problem. The world is rotting and is beyond human capacity to fix. But he's also affirming that we aren't left to our own capabilities. God is at work. But God's not just at work in some sort of nebulous spirit state. God has chosen us, his followers, to be his hands and his feet in our world. His church was created as a preventive influence. You are the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. We together, the church of Jesus Christ, are the salt of the earth, not in our own abilities and strengths, but in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We're invited by Jesus to make a difference in our world by being salt, salt that prevents decay and stops, even in small ways, the continuation of evil in our midst. There's a story that illustrates this of a saint who was praying to God. As the saint prayed, he saw in his mind's eye a long line of human suffering. The battered, the bereaved, those who were crippled by disease and war, the hungry, the homeless, the unwanted, the unborn. Seeing them, the saint was overwhelmed with sorrow, and he cried out, Almighty God, how is it that you, our loving Creator, can see such pain and such need and yet do nothing about it? And out of that silence, God's still small voice seemed to say to this man, I did do something. I made you. How does God often do something about human need? How does God bandage the bleeding and bind the brokenhearted? How does God comfort the grieving and sustain the weary? How does God reach a person who's searching for faith? Sometimes God works directly and miraculously all by himself. But more often than not, God prefers to involve us, his followers, in his work. God often prefers to work through people like you and like me. What is God doing about the terrible hurts in our world? I made you, he says, and sent you to be the salt of the earth.
Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. You're here to prevent decay. But that's not all. You're also here to point the way. See, Jesus continued. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. These words of Jesus, they're chosen carefully. A city set on a hill. A city placed on a hill can't be hidden. See, in that day and age, in that part of the world, in that time, cities weren't typically built on hills. They were built on the flatland and the valleys where the running water was. But if a city were to be set on a hill, it was done so for a reason. It was put there intentionally. Because up on that hill, you couldn't miss it. The buildings were built out of white limestone. You could see them for miles and miles around. The sun would reflect off of them by day, and then at night they would light oil lamps. And so when it was dark out for miles and miles, you could see that light from forever away. So Jesus said, just as a city on a hill can't be hidden, but shines its light to everyone and everything around, that's what we are. We, the people of Paoli Presbyterian Church, we are like a strategically placed city. That's why we're the light of the world. We have been strategically placed so that we can shine our light in our families, in our neighborhood, in our workplaces, in our friend groups, in our schools. God has us right where we are for a reason. We have been set where we are, like a city on a hill, purposefully, strategically, so that we can be the light of the world. But why? There's more. Jesus goes on. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In that same way, let your light shine before others so that why? So that everybody can think that you're awesome? So that everyone can applaud because you're just such an amazing Christian? No. Now Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is really powerful. This is really, really important. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I want you to live your life right where you are, right where I have placed you, in such a way that when people look at you, when they observe your good works, they don't say, oh, well, he's such a nice guy, or oh, she's such an amazing woman. No. Now Jesus says, I want people, when they see your good works, I want them to say, are you kidding me? Like, who does that? Who's that nice? Like, when people look at Paoli Presbyterian Church, I want them saying things like, they keep providing us food. Like, I don't have to ask for it, they just do it. Every time I need it, I can just drive to Paoli Presbyterian Church and there is food at the doorway waiting for me so I can take it home and feed my family. What's up with that? I want people to say, you know, I've got these neighbors and I know they are just as stretched and tired as anybody else, but they're always reaching out. They're always asking how I'm doing, making sure that I'm okay. They even offered to go grocery shopping for me. I don't know why they do it. I want to hear people saying things like, you know, I work for this guy. And I know he goes to church or something, I don't really know about all of that. But what I do know is, it's one time a couple years ago, I messed up. Like, bad messed up at work. And I was sure. That was it. I'm done. I'm fired. I'm out. My boss calls me in to his office one day, and I just sit down and ready for it. But he looks at me and says, you know, this might sound a little weird, but I'm a Christian. And I believe that God gives second chances. And so I want to give you a second chance. And I wasn't fired. He gave me a second chance. Why in the world would anyone do that? Jesus says, I want your good works to be so extraordinary. I want your good works to be so amazing that when people look at you, when they see your life, they begin to connect the dots between your lifestyle and their Father in heaven. I have made you to be the light of the world. I have strategically set you exactly where you are, like a city on a hill, so that your life And these extraordinarily good works that you do, do so in such a way that they point the way to Jesus.
Jesus says, you're salt. Jesus says, you're light. You were sent into this world to make a difference, to prevent decay, to point the way. What does that look like today? How do we as Paoli Presbyterian Church live as salt of the earth and light of the world in this season of COVID-19? Especially, how do we do that as some restrictions are lifted and we move into this yellow phase of disease mitigation? Well, perhaps the greatest way that we can be the church and that we as the church can be salt and light in our culture is by exhibiting love and respect for one another in the midst of what has become a particularly polarizing time. You see, within our congregation, there are people at various stages and places in that response spectrum. Some are themselves of high-risk categories or have close family members who are in a high-risk group. And as a result of that, they've already communicated with us that even after some activities resume at the church, it's going to be a little while till they're able to come back and they're able to fully participate in person in those ways. And that's okay. It's okay to be at that place in this journey. Others see more the significant emotional and financial and cultural impact that has been happening all around us, and they're just itching to get back into what is happening around us, to get back to something more like normalcy in the life in which we live. And again, that's okay as well. And we have people all the way in between on that continuum of response. We are, though, one church. We are one family, one united body of Christ. And in this world of ever-increasing separation and division, we get the opportunity to be different. We get to live out Jesus' promise. They will know we are Christians by our love for one another.
That being said, there are some practices and procedures that our session has put into place for this coming season of life as a church. We're going to be sharing the whole document with you by email tomorrow, but we just want to highlight a few things. The first of those is that while we are in this yellow phase, we're going to continue our weekly worship online, and we're not going to be gathering in person. And we really know that this is going to be a source of great disappointment for some of you, but truly it was Session's conclusion that this was the best use of our resources at this time. We don't want to regather in worship in person until doing so can be as good as the experience we can provide online. And some of the restrictions that have been put in place throughout this phase just really make it impractical for a church like ours to meet in a building. For example, being limited to just 25 people at a time. Everyone having to sit at least 6 feet apart, having to completely sanitize and clean the facility between services, teaching children how to social distance and requiring that they, along with us, wear masks, it's just not feasible. But we believe that during this stage, we can best proclaim the message of Jesus Christ in this online setting. So we're not going to regather in person for worship, not just yet. And the reason for that is we do want to continue to live into what Jesus said about us, that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world.
And it's for that reason that there are certain things that we are going to be doing, that we're going to be able to do in increasing amounts as we move through this progression at this point. We are going to continue to gather online for worship, as Becca just said. We'll continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in word and in sacrament every week and make it possible for all of us to worship God at home. But we're also going to be increasing and making ways for more and more of you to get connected through our virtual small groups. Over 70 of you have participated in this last season of small groups, and most have said that you're have gotten so much out of these experiences of building relationships and of sharing together that you want to go for the next round of those groups. There are so many of the old groups are taking on new members, and many new groups are being formed. If you're not yet in a small group, I want to encourage you. Now's a perfect opportunity as these groups are reforming to jump in and to join with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ in this way. For our students and our adults, the yellow phase will also allow us to begin having some small groups and meetings in person. Following the established safety guidelines, students and adults will be able to meet together for Bible study and prayer, for conducting committee business and gatherings like that, and even just to have fun in one another's space and proximity. We'll continue to provide ways for those who are not comfortable and not able to connect in this way to still be a part of the life of the church, even as we have and are able to have more and more of these face-to-face interactions. We're also going to continue to serve together. The yellow phase will allow for increased opportunities to tangibly serve those in need, both near and far. Throughout the summer, we're going to continue to make opportunities known to you through which we can all impact the community and the needs that are around us. As we look back over the history of the church has been at its best. It has grown the fastest. It's made the biggest impact when people have taken Jesus seriously. And they've done that by being the salt and light, as Jesus called. And in doing so, that's such a powerful, powerful witness to the world in which we live. That doesn't mean that it's easy. Being salt and being light requires something of each one of us. In fact, it can sometimes require everything of us. To be salt and light means that we have to give ourselves away. See, there's one thing that both salt and light have in common. They don't exist for themselves. They serve no inward purpose all by themselves. They exist solely and only for the ways that they can give to others. Salt, for example, can't preserve itself. It can't preserve salt. Salt is only good when it's poured out and used to preserve something else. Light is very similar. When it's off, it's really of no use. It's as it illuminates something else. It's as it shines on something else and others can see that something else, that it has an impact and it makes a difference. Salt and light exist to give themselves away. Jesus said, "We are salt and we are light. We have been strategically placed at this time and in this place, in our families, in our friend groups, in our schools, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in all of the circumstances of our lives, so that we can prevent decay and point others to the way of Jesus Christ." It's hard. It's hard. But you know what? Jesus knew that. He knew that it was going to be difficult. He knew the calling was going to be hard, but he also knew it wasn't going to be impossible. If we're trying to do it by ourselves, it is. But Jesus is with us.
See, Jesus called us to be salt and light only because he knew that he had come to be salt and light for us. See, Jesus came to prevent decay, to enter fully and completely into all that was wrong, all that was hurt, all that is broken in this world and in our hearts, and to make it right, to make it healed, to make us whole. And Jesus came to be light, to point the way to our Father in heaven because we couldn't get there on our own. And to do that, well, that required that Jesus give his life away. Scripture tells us that for our sake, God made him, Jesus. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did it to change the world. And person by person, community by community. That is what happened. People believed who Jesus said he was. So they lived out who Jesus said we are. Salt and light. And it changed the world. And it's still changing the world. Jesus is still changing the world through people like you and me. So now's the time. Let's be who Jesus created us to be. Be salt. Be light. Prevent decay. Point the way. And give your life away.